Hello and welcome to Weekend Let's Hear It on WMUK. I'm Cara Laurence. Thanks for joining me again. Songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Joel Mabus released his newest album today, Ukulele Crimes. He'll be at the Kalamazoo Fretboard Festival tomorrow afternoon, performing at 3 p.m., and he joined me at WMUK to share some highlights from the new album, which he made in record time on the heels of his 2017 release, Different Hymnals. Joel admits he's owned a variety of ukuleles over the years, one of which was sold for a house payment, but he needed the right instrument and even the right historic moment to produce Ukulele Crimes.
These days now, I play a tenor ukulele, and that's what's recorded on the album. The tenor is a couple of inches longer in scale length, and it's tuned to the same pitch, but the strings are thicker and tighter, and the tone is better. And the tenor is definitely my size. And and I started playing some like real music on the thing, and I wrote a few songs this last year or two. And thought, well, what am I going to do with these? And I've been playing old songs on the ukulele for years, old Tin Pan Alley stuff, because it sounded right on there. And so it dawned on me, well, you know, I should do a ukulele album. Some of my friends who have been they've made three or four or five ukulele albums now say, Joel, when are you going to do a ukulele record? You have all these gigs waiting for you to play the ukulele, if only you. So I had it in mind, maybe someday I'd do it. And it seemed right with the songs I had written and some of the more obscure old songs that I'd been collecting that nobody else sings anymore.
Tell me about the origins of the ukulele.
So it's the Portuguese peninsula, the Iberian Peninsula thing, and the sailors took it around the world. They took it to Hawaii, where they called it the ukulele, which means the little jumping flea. And there's a lot of stories about why it's a jumping flea. But America fell in love with it in 1915. They went ukulele crazy. And the rest is sort of history. That was the first wave of ukuleles.
It's 100 years later, and it's peaking again.
Yeah. It's funny how things kind of come and go. There was another peak, but when I was a kid in the 50s with Arthur Godfrey,
radio host,
you know the name. He's old and gone these many years, and he played a baritone ukulele on his TV show and radio shows, and had his own signature brand of the Arthur Godfrey ukulele method and all this stuff. So that was a big thing in the 50s was Arthur Godfrey's uke, and then of course in the late 60s there was Tiny Tim, who put his brand on the ukulele for a generation. And now, you know, it's a more serious sort of a new agey, a millennial thing, I could say. And people are realizing that you can buy a really nice, nicely handmade ukulele for a fraction of what a guitar of the same workmanship would cost. So a lot of guitar players said, well, I could buy two ukuleles for the price of this one guitar. So that's what they've been doing.
Well, I will tell you, I pulled this out of the mail on a very cold, wintry, miserable day. And as soon as I set eyes on the hot pink kind of sunset orange Hawaiian cover, it started to lift my mood without even hearing it. And then once it was in my player and listening through the headphones, I feel like you're not only playing music, but handing us all a philosophy of life. I mean, you don't have to take it quite so seriously. If you're down in the dumps, take a moment to
The title of the album, Ukulele Crimes, is the title of the first cut, which is also called Ukulele Crimes. And that comes from the first line I wrote in that song. I was just kind of strumming my ukulele and I sang, is it a crime to play the ukulele when all the world is blue? Because it was a dreadful time. This was like the summer of 17. Okay. And there were hurricanes on the East Coast and fires burning entire cities on the West Coast. There were Nazis marching in the streets. I was just like, the world is coming apart. And what am I doing here strumming my ukulele? Is it a crime? And then I wrote that the chorus to the song, is it a crime to strum a little something when the troubles keep a coming at you two by two? And the chorus was written, and I said, well, that's a good enough chorus to write a verse or two with. And I kind of fleshed the song out a little bit with what is a person's response when the world is crashing down around your ears?
Now we got maniacs at large. We got lunatics in charge. We got politics of fear and greed. People shouting in the street, people stomping with their feet. Satisfaction is what they need. Now this world's in lots of trouble. Unless you're living in a bubble, you can read it on every face. But I'm not here to bring a grudge. I stand before you as my judge. So listen as I plead my sorry case. Is it a crime to play my ukulele when all the world is blue? Is it a crime to strum a little something when the troubles keep a-coming at you? Two by two, is it a sin to sing a sunny song when the sky is falling down? If it's a crime to sing and play the ukulele, you'll have to run me out of town. Yes, sir, run me out of town.
I thought, too, I've been writing songs and playing music, folk music, if you want to call it that, for some 40 years, from college on. And, you know, I was protesting the Vietnam War with my guitar back 40 years ago. And I was protesting this and that, and I've written a lot of topical songs in the mode of my friend and mentor Tom Paxton, who likes to call them grudge songs. If you have a good grudge, just get down and write a song about it and get it off your chest. And but I've learned that, you know, I can play these to people who agree with my grudges, and there's a bunch of them out there, and we all feel a little bit better. It doesn't change anything, though. It doesn't change a thing at all. And sometimes the other half of my musical existence, I've been playing dance music and swing music, bluegrass music, music that makes you tap your toe and feel better. And, you know, we're not talking about how to change the world. We're talking about how to change your head, you know, just feel a little better about things. And I decided that would be the tenor of this album, would be songs that make you feel a little better about your own place on the planet, you know, without trying to give you a sermon about it. So the first song on the album sets that mood up. Is it a crime to play this? And then we have at it and play a bunch of fun stuff, songs I've written and some funny stuff and ridiculous stuff. And some great old songs like Down Among the Sheltering Palms and I'll See You in CUBA. Most of these, if you look at the lyrics, it's like, boy, there's some kind of little hanky-panky going on in this song, or a little skullduggery or whatever. CUBA is about going to Cuba so you can drink legally during Prohibition. I guess that wasn't a crime at the time, but it was a way to avoid a crime. So I thought, well, I'm going to call that song Ukulele Crimes, and I'll call the album Ukulele Crimes. And if nothing else, people will say, what? Instead of like Ukulele Dreams or Ukulele Sunsets, it's like, oh, man, get out of here. Ukulele Crimes, I want to know about that. Another one that came up early on was The World is Waiting for the Sunrise.
Dear one, the world is waiting for the sunrise.
Everyone. Which is a song I didn't know much about. I'd heard Les Paul and Mary Ford's version back in the 50s, which was this fast train wreck of a song where they just sing it really fast. It was an old song then. And I found some older recordings of it. It was written at the very end of World War I. And it isn't about the war. It's about two people in love, and they're waiting, and the guy is waiting for the sunrise. The whole world is waiting for the sunrise. And it was a huge hit at the time because it resonated with people who were sick of war, sick of the flu epidemic, sick of all this stuff. It caught on with the jazz players. Django Reinhardt did it. Benny Goodman did it. All these people. Duke Ellington did it. And I love it on the ukulele. Finally, another one that is totally absurd to play on the ukulele is the Bugle Call Rag, which was a big band hit, and then it was a bluegrass hit for Earl Scruggs. And to play it on the ukulele just seems totally absurd, but it's a lot of fun. And what better song to finish "The World is Waiting for the Sunrise" than takes you from let's dream a little bit, let's have some dreams, and then wake up at the end and get back to work. Okay. So I don't feel my crimes have been wasted.
The new album, Ukulele Crimes, you can find it now at joelmabus.com, M-A-B-U-S. And Joel, you'll be playing at the Fretboard Festival tomorrow afternoon at the Kalamazoo Valley Museum.
Yeah, free. You come on down. It's free.
It starts at 3 o'clock. Well, your set starts at 3.
My set's at 3. I don't have the schedule in front of me. I'll take your word on that. I know it's in the afternoon. I'll be there most of the day.
So about how many brand new songs did you compose for this?
I think it comes out to 6 Mabus and 7 public domain. The 6 of mine includes a couple of instrumentals, but and the others all have ukulele themes to them. The ukulele shmukulele is kind of a playful thing, and then how do you spell ukulele, which is one of my personal favorites. It has a little bit of a hidden joke to it. The whole ukulele, people new to the ukulele go to a lot of events where you learn to strum along with 50 other people to easy songs. And there's book upon book upon book and set list upon set list of 2-chord songs.
So many.
So I thought, well, I'd like to write a 2-chord song that doesn't sound like a 2-chord song. And that's how do you spell ukulele? It's essentially 2 chords, except they're kind of complex chords. And it just goes back and forth between the two and has this little dialogue between somebody who doesn't know how to spell it and somebody who does. And it's the only song on the album that has some Hawaiian references. The other towns reference, there's one about San Francisco and one with Georgia, one with Cuba, and one with New Orleans. They all have palm trees. And a lot of mosquitoes.
Well, tell me, how do you spell ukulele? How do you spell ukulele? How do you spell it? Ukulele. I know it starts with a U. Yeah. Is U for used to be, K a co-a-tree. U for up and down, that's how you strum it, see. L is for the luau, E for every girl and boy. L for licking fingers. E from eating all that poi. And that's how you spell ukulele. That's how you spell ukulele. That's how you spell it.
There's a thing in the ukulele world between people who call it ukulele and people who go Hawaiian and go ukulele, because that's the way it's pronounced among people who speak Hawaiian. And then there are a lot of people who don't speak Hawaiian, but they prefer ukulele. And then the question is, well, is it a, okay, it's an ukulele. Well, is it a uke or a ook? And people take both sides of that too. So I have a little fun with that in ukulele, schmukulele. But, and then the, how do you tune it is the other question that comes up with goats can eat anything.
This is one of my favorites here. Goats can eat anything.
Yeah, which is a mnemonic of how to tune the four strings. G, C, E, A.
But then it turns into an impressive defense of your own dog.
Well, it actually started as an instrumental. And became this little waltz tune, but I thought, well, I should write some words to this. And goats can eat anything. G C E A starts it off, and see that tuning method is preferable in my mind to the old "my dog has fleas."
Goats can eat anything, G C E A. Words to remember, four notes to play. My dog has fleas, you say, but that's just not true. My dog is clean, perhaps cleaner than you. She's fit as a fiddle, and clean as a whistle, quite tidy, the bed she lies in. Plus she sleeps in my home, whereas you and your biome, God only knows where you've been. So goats can eat anything, that's how I'll tune my ukulele's four notes. Just leave my dog out of it, for she has no fleas. But I can't speak for you or the goats.
Is songwriting getting easier, staying the same?
It's never easy, but it's always fun. If it's not, here's how I know a song's going to work. If the song is fun to write, it's got a chance. That, it may not be a good song, even though it's fun to write. But if this song is really hard work, it's something wrong. There's going to be something wrong with that song from the beginning to the end. If I can find a way to turn the corner and make it fun, then I know the song has a chance. But if I'm just pushing a rope uphill to get this song written, it's going to be a bad song. And something's got to change, because if it's this hard to, it's hard to write, no one will want to listen to it.
I remember you revealing the secret of your process last time you were here, which just involves solo playing in your basement.
Well, things come from at you from different directions, and the music has to work, and the words have to work, and the thought process has to work, and the subject matter has to be appropriate to the whole scene. And it's a puzzle in some cases, and it's a fun thing to do. Both making a tune and making words. And when they fit together, then, you know, it's just light bulbs come on and the band starts playing, you know. And And sometimes you had to work at it for a while before it gets it. Often you have a song pretty much done and you think, yay, this is great. And then the amateur stops there. The professional will say, okay, that's a good start. Now, how can I make this better? And that's where someone who's been working with songwriting for a while takes it the next mile. And when I'm listening to even a pop song that's a big hit, I can tell when they were lazy and quit too soon. You know, I can just tell it. And there's a weak rhyme, or there's just this big musical interlude where there ought to be another thought. I'm like, hey, they just get tired and quit. You know, doesn't mean it's a bad song. It just means that I wouldn't have finished so soon.
Too far from here, there is a pleasant atmosphere. Everybody's going there this year, and there's a reason. The season opened last July, when the USA went dry. Everybody's going there, and I am going to Cuba. That's where I'm going. That's where I'll stay. Cuba, where the wine is flowing.
I'm with Joel Mabus talking about his new album, Ukulele Crimes, which is out today, available on CD Baby, iTunes, Amazon, and in person tomorrow at the Kalamazoo Fretboard Festival. When we've talked before, I'm always so impressed by how much research you've done on the time periods and the composers.
Well, when I was younger, these were just songs out of the blue, and they wrote it. You know, what did they write? They wrote the song. Oh, they came out with the song. Who's they? I don't know. And as I got older, I started investigating, well, who did write this song? And now it's my first question, who wrote this song? And if it's two people did it, was it words and music, or were they both write both, or what? It always leads to something interesting. There's this song I include on this one, Way Down Yonder in New Orleans, which is kind of a theme song for Louis Armstrong over the years. Way down yonder in New Orleans. All the old-time jazz bands, that's standard repertoire in New Orleans.
Way down yonder in New Orleans, in the land of those dreamy scenes, it's a Garden of Eden, if you know what I mean. Creole babies with flashing eyes softly whisper tender sighs. Stop, won't you give your lady fair a little smile? Stop, bet your life you'll linger there a little while. We got heaven here on earth with those beautiful queens way down yonder in New Orleans.
It was written by two vaudeville stars in particular, Kramer and Layton, Henry Kramer and Turner Layton, who were African-American vaudeville entertainers. And they didn't just play the African-American circuit. They were big stars on the Broadway circuit. They were top of the game. And they worked together writing their own songs. They wrote this one, Way Down Yonder in New Orleans, which is a very... Speaking of like your little crimes included in a fun song, it's a song of like a sailor on a spree or something hitting New Orleans. But it's a happy little tune, and it was one of their big hits. They broke up after 3 or 4 years of big success, but they didn't stop. They went on to work with other people and wrote a lot of good songs. So it's fun to find out the story behind the song.
Way down yonder in New Orleans, in the land of them crazy dreams, it's a Garden of Eden, you know what I mean. Creole bells with flashing eyes softly whisper a sweet surprise. Stop, won't you give that lady fair a little smile? Stop, you can leave your troubles there a little while. Lord, it's like heaven here on earth with them beautiful queens way down yonder in New Orleans. Way down yonder in New Orleans.
That's Joel Mabus on his tenor ukulele with Way Down Yonder in New Orleans. The new album, Ukulele Crimes, is out today, and Joel, you'll appear at the Kalamazoo Fretboard Festival tomorrow afternoon at the Kalamazoo Valley Museum. I wanted to bring up an instrumental tune that stood out to me, a little waltz called The Reentrant.
Yeah, that's a tune I wrote on the ukulele from, there's a couple of little inside jokes. And I'll warn you, they're not very funny. They aren't funny inside jokes, but musicians would have a little smile. The reentrant refers to the reentrant tuning. Da-da-da-da, where the first note is higher than the second note. And why it's called reentrant, I'm not really sure. That's a scholarly thing. Most
that's
people
a great
don't
word.
Know. That it's but when I was writing this tune, the reentrant, well, I had this little theme, that just keeps re-entering the tune. It just keeps coming back, and it finishes out with a lot of different endings, none of which are satisfactory until you get to the end of the tune. But it just keeps re-entering. It's like there it is again. There's the theme again. So that's joke one. The reentrant tuning that you use on the ukulele, the other joke is, if you didn't have a uke in reentrant but had it with the low G instead of the high G at the end, you could not play this tune. This tune depends on the reentrant tuning. You could make all those notes one way or another on the other strings, but it would drive you nuts, and you wouldn't be able to roll the fingers over the strings and play these both the melody and the chords of the tune. So it's the reentrant tuning is essential to the melody of this.
It's no entry if you haven't.
Yeah, there's no entry without the reentry. So that's the other little joke. But it stands on its own legs as a nice little tune as well, which was my first goal, was to write a pleasant little waltz. And I think I did. It's a when I play it around the house, my wife will say, oh, that was nice. And where did that come from? And I said, I wrote that. Oh. So that's always a good measure when someone hears the tune and likes it, not knowing that they're supposed to like it because I wrote it.
Well, Joel, it's been great seeing you again. Thanks for taking us through some of these tracks, and congratulations on the new album, Ukulele Crimes.
Well, thank you. It turned out as I envisioned it, and hopefully it'll go out in the world and make a few people happy.
Go to joelmabus.com for full information on the new album and some well-curated liner notes. For more information on the Kalamazoo Fretboard Festival, the website is fretboardfestival.com. I'm Kara Lawrence. Thanks for tuning in to Weekend Let's Hear It on WMUK. Have a great weekend.